Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio. Glad you're with us around the state, wherever you find us. Or online, welcome. Glad to bring you another hour of Southern Miss Talk. And today is a special program. We're operating from the Southern Bancorp studio, as I said, and the opening segment of today's show is going to be sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant. Great place to go enjoy a wonderful buffet. They're open tonight, 5 till 8. Good food, fresh food tonight on the buffet. And, of course, the big Sunday buffet is coming up this Sunday from 11 to 2 every Sunday. And they're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. And it's just the best Southern cooking that you'll find anywhere in the Pine Belt. All right, as I said, we've got a really special guest in our studio today. Talked to Jack Duggan this morning, and between us, we determined that there in the history of Southern Miss baseball, five sets of brothers, the best we can tell, who have played, not necessarily at the same time, but played for the same program. The Ewing brothers, the Lynch brothers, the Hoffpower brothers, and the Montenegro brothers. Now, the fifth set of brothers actually played together one year, and in some very famous moments, I might add. And that, of course, is the famous Sandlin brothers. And we are absolutely delighted to have Jake Sandlin here in the studio with us. And Jake, welcome. We should thank Scott Berry. Scott's the one that tipped us off to you being here. But, man, we're really happy to have you here with us today.
Man, thank you all so much for having me. How's that volume? Are we good there?
Yeah, there you go.
Everything good?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, thank y'all so much for having me. Always love coming back. Always love coming to a place that feels like home, as close to home as it's ever felt. And just really, really fortunate to be here with some Golden Eagles.
Well, we're delighted to have you. We should point out that Jake is a coach now on the Georgia Southern women's softball team, and you guys are in town here to take on the Lady Eagles, Jake.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great series. We actually, my first year, we didn't play Southern Miss at all. Last year, they came to our place. And so, finally, it's time for us to get back over here. And we've got a super entertaining series. Two good ball clubs that can bang it a little bit at the dish and play pretty good on defense. So, it should be some good ball. Come check
all right,
out.
Here's an obvious question. How does an All-American college baseball player become a college softball coach?
Oh, man, kind of like everybody says, not what you know is who you know. I just got in a very fortunate situation with people that I'd worked with at another institution, and they had a hole to fill, and they asked, you know, would I be interested in doing it? And I've always loved doing things at the highest level as humanly possible. You know, when I got here to play at Southern Miss, to finish my career and a very good conference at an outstanding institution, that was the highest level that I could possibly be at. And the answer for me was absolutely. So then when this opportunity happened, hey, best non-power four league in the country right here, some schools I'm familiar with, absolutely jumped at the opportunity.
Before Dima jumps in here, I'm still, though he's got questions to ask you. I want to let the listeners know that you and I have been visiting with each other now for about a half an hour before the show, and you've expressed in no uncertain terms your love for this community, for the Southern Miss baseball program, and for Scott Berry. I'll give you a chance to talk about that for a minute.
It kind of is hard to put into words because I can talk with the best of them. You hear that sometimes that, hey, that dude over there can talk to a wall. I'm one of the few people that I can make the wall talk back. All right. And, it's hard to find the words that adequately describe what I feel about this place. Me, as a human being, one of the things that I stick to is wherever my feet are, I have the tendency to give that place and those people all of me. And no place I've ever been in my life have I gotten it all back from the people and the place the way that I have in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Being a part of this community, being a part of this institution and that baseball program. Mm. And having somebody like Scott Berry, my dad jokes all the time at the house, the man's John Wayne. And I don't know of a better way to describe him. He's one of a kind. And it's one of the honors of my lifetime. I've played for some pretty good folks and been around some good folks. But it's one of the honors of my lifetime to play for him and to get to know him as a human being. Because if you want to talk about a man that does it the right way, you go.
Well, you know, former head coach Hill Denson called him stupid on this show a couple of days ago. So
kidding.
No, I'm just
kidding. I got to meet Coach Denson. He was pretty awesome, too. All right. I don't have a bad thing to say about that fella.
Man. No, I'm just kidding. Man, just, you know, you were talking about a little bit before the show, you know, coming back to this place, and you were talking about it. You might just go and drive over to the Pete and just sit there and just be around that environment and maybe taking a couple players over there just to see it. It is special. And just talk about that from a former player perspective who, like you said, you don't come to Hattiesburg that often just because you're at Georgia Southern. But now that you're back, what this place means to you, that you can just go and just sit there and enjoy it.
Well, I think it's a rare privilege for a human being in their time to really find a place where it fills their heart and they actually said, this might be the most special place in the world. I will never forget on opening day, us taking fly balls from B.A. Volmuth during In and Out, and Dylan Bordeaux asked me, all right, man, how you feeling? And I'm sitting there looking, standing in center field, looking up at the stands or whatever, and I just said, it feels familiar. Mm-hmm. And when I came back for the Super Regional against Ole Miss, let's not talk about the ball game. All right, in rough 48 hours.
Right.
When I came back, it's just like, wow, Disney World doesn't have anything on this. And it's the kind of place that you tear up, and when you get off the exit on your way in, and I've said it on another podcast before, Everyday Eagle, my family, I've said it in public, I've said it to them, whether it's in a coffin or a coffee can, whatever is left of me, I hope that it's allowed to be buried behind center field fence at Pete Taylor Park.
Well, Dima revealed a secret, I guess a secret to you a few minutes ago. I do go out and just sit at Pete Taylor Park by myself some. And
it's incredible. Generally, there's a lot worse places to be.
Bob does it a lot during football and basketball season.
I just love that it has of an energy all on its own, and I'm very proud of the team this year for taking care of business that opening weekend. Just hearing what a very, very well-respected program and a well-respected coach in Santa Barbara and Coach Checkitz had to say about the energy at the Pete and for them to experience that. And I think that the boys really, really held up their end of the bargain. And I'm glad that our reputation precedes us.
You kind of played during the transition, I like to call, when I look at Southern Miss baseball history, from a, you know, contender, from a, you know, kind of a team that would rise up and play with this competition, to you saw a turn in the 15, 16, 17 years where you started turning into a contender every single season. Now this year, I think, was the first season that I've remembered since I've covered this team where the national respect of this program continues to just be strong each and every week, no matter what happens. How important is that for you as a former player to see that?
Well, we always, you know, my dad does his research on programs and, you know, whoever we're affiliated with and stuff. And we always noticed that Southern Miss, in the time of Nick's recruitment, was kept going up in the list, you know, top 50 programs in the country, top 40. And then you look, there's just a sense of constant improvement in here. And one of the things that I felt, I always wanted to give something to the fans. I always felt like I had a responsibility to perform for this community because of the way that they supported us. It didn't take me very long to figure that out. And Coach Oz actually asked me to speak to the team when they came to Statesboro a couple of years ago, and that's what I spoke about. And there's just a constant sense of improvement. And so if there's a constant sense of improvement, then you're never really stuck in the same place. I think you can look out across college baseball, and it's the wild, wild west. Yet there are some programs that they keep – the question around them is, when are they going to get over the hump?
Yeah.
Well, what is the hump for them? It's been the same thing for a long time. We are continuing to grow and continuing to garner respect across the sport. So it's incredibly important to see what that's done for our brand and what that's – you know, that we can show off a little bit as a community.
We've got Jake Sandlin in the studio with us. He's going to hang around for the entire show with us. And when we come back, I've got so much to ask him about. You're going to find it interesting how he ended up here and who actually recruited him. And then, of course, Jake, I'm sure you know, started what could be the most famous play in Southern Miss history. And we're going to ask him to relive that moment. I remember it like it was yesterday, Jake, but we'll get Jake's opinion on that when we come back as we head to the break. Mo Bay Beignet, 2902 Harding Street. Great place to go this weekend. Get some delicious beignets made to order, some great coffees and other drinks. Mo Bay Beignet Company. Also, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or just tell Alexa or Siri to play it for you, and she will. We'll be right back with Jake Sandlin in the Eagle Hour studio.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsors the second segment of our show every day. Matt Warner and his great staff down on Highway 98 West selling Goodyear tires, doing full truck and service work, and always going to get a fair price and great customer service at Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, family owned since 1985. All right, Jake Sandlin's in the studio with us, as we said. And Jake, you played here in 2016, won the conference championship tournament here. Before we get to that, I want you to let our listeners know, they're going to be a little surprised by this, who actually recruited you to come play at Southern Miss?
I can honestly say that I had nothing to do with the process outside of answering my phone for one phone call with my brother.
That's
and
awesome.
Nick goes, do you want to do this or not? And basically, after my junior season, we thought I had a pretty good shot of getting drafted. Obviously, my name wasn't called. I wasn't very happy about it, but I think the person that was more upset about it was Nick, who watched every single pick and also noticed that Southern Miss didn't have a center fielder necessarily. And that dude just wants to win. So he made a couple of phone calls, from my understanding. I was like phone call number three. And I was pretty dazed about it because I didn't think that that was going to be an option. Mm-hmm. I had graduated on time from Georgia College and planned on going back to finish a great career. Because earlier in that year, we stood in the parking lot and after a double and a homer. And my dad had already told me that I was good enough to play at this level and that I could fit on that team. And I made a comment, and I was like, yeah, maybe finish this year out. And if I graduate on time, my dad stopped me. He goes, when you graduate on time? I was like, yes, sir. I said, maybe I can go to Southern Miss as a grad transfer and play with Nick. And my dad said, absolutely not. No. And I was so confused. And he had explained to me, your brother is not Jake Sandlin's little brother anymore. He's Nick Sandlin. And he's carved this path for himself. This is what he's going to go do. And you are going to finish what you start, because that's what we do in this family. And at that moment, Southern Miss, zero percent possibility. And then I guess Nick changed his mind and is like, hey man, when they call you, just say yes, pack your bags and let's go. I pretty much had to tell my younger brother, who had just graduated high school, yes sir, see you there.
It's funny how it works, isn't it?
Well, you come here and obviously you had a tremendous year and you were a great, great part of the team. And we go through the season and we get down to the championship, the CUSA Tournament Championship taking place here at Pete Taylor Park. And was it, I think it was Sunday?
What a wild event. Wild having weekend. Brett Favre throw out the first pitch for the night game. And ODU was over there like, he's not actually gonna throw it, is he? Right. Is he really? And he's over there on the side throwing knuckleballs with Taylor Braley and Kurt McCarty. And then he goes out there for the first pitch and just absolutely uncorks it. And then he told us what he told us. I'm not going to repeat that on air or whatever. And we absolutely smoked those dudes. And it's still like the fourth inning. They're like, dude, that was Brett Favre to throw out the first pitch. I was like, dude, y'all realize we're up like 8 runs already. it was a heck of a weekend. But, yeah, that's Sunday. That's Sunday.
Right, so we get down to the ninth inning. Golden Eagles are desperately trying to hold on to the lead and win the conference championship. And I want to say there was a runner on second base, if I'm not mistaken, with two outs. Am I right about that, I think?
Yeah.
The Golden Eagles are two runs down or one run down? Anyway, obviously the game is on the line. And the Golden Eagles are just hanging on for dear life because Rice was Rice back in those days. And your brother's pitching.
And Nick is pitching. And
no, you take the story.
It's always – you know, here's the thing about Nick. He's always going to find a way to make it interesting. All right. He's either going to go out there and cut you up and act like he has something better to do with his life than face another batter, or it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be intense. And so at this point, we had just scored. I had scored on a two-out knock from Storm Cooper. All right.
Wow.
Big-time Storm Cooper to go up 3-1. And so we bring Nick in after escaping by the skin of our teeth in the eighth. We bring Nick in, and we're close, man. I think Nick's throwing good. He's not throwing great. And next thing you know, this ball gets spanked in the left center. And I remember J.C. Keys was the defensive replacement in left field. And all I could think, and I always thought this when I played behind Nick, I'd never run after a ball harder in my life simply because somebody hit it off of my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as this ball was hit, I just start hollering, I got it, I got it, I got it. Had to go over and backhand it, rip it, and then, you know, we execute this relay, and it's just, it's great baseball. It's great fundamental baseball. It's catching and throwing at a super high level with everything going crazy around you. Just pop, 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 and nice and easy. And, I'm like halfway to the ball. I'm like, daggum, Nick, you couldn't throw a better pitch than that. is that all you got, bro? It all happened super fast. But next thing you know, we're jumping the fence.
Yeah.
In right field, that was the first time that we – and Tim Lynch had told us, hey, this is going to happen. Like, when we win, all right, we are jumping the right field fence into the roost. And at one point, people are kind of, like, spraying us with beers and stuff like that. And me being a self-conscious person, I'm like, hey, you know, it's the right person seeing this. And I look up, and big game Bill McGillis has got a beer in his hand himself, telling us how proud he was
athletic
of us.
Director.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us the relay, though. You relayed – To
Nick Dawson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. He is going to turn around and rip it to the middle of the field.
To Lynch.
And Lynch just made a great heads-up baseball play of just finding his way to the middle of the field, finding his way into the action, not standing around being a spectator. And then he delivers the ball to Chucky. I got news for you. If you're trying to score and Chucky Robinson is standing in front of you, good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, that ain't happening.
Who's still playing professional baseball.
Still got an absolute cannon for an arm. I got a fun story for you. First time I ever tried to steal on Chucky in an inner squad. Last time I ever tried to steal from Chucky in an inner squad. But yeah, so good luck trying to score on Chuck. And then, you know, everybody their entire lives, you've seen on TV, they take the ball and they put it in their back pocket. Nah, man, Chucky just went ahead and Gronk spiked it.
Yeah.
Bounced it like a basketball, you know. And that dog pile, terrible performance on my end on the dog pile. I kind of completely whiffed, but it's by far the best day of my life, because it was something, it was simple, and it was things that Coach Barry and, mm-hmm. you know, the coaching staff always talked about.
Is that the play that sticks out in your mind from your career?
It's got to be. It kind of has to be because of what it led to for years to come.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, arguably, and you talked about this with Scott Barry on your show, Bob, that, you know, they missed the regional a couple years in a row, 14 and 15. You get that play to win the Conference USA Championship. Now, y'all were going to get in regardless because y'all were really good.
But you can't miss the regional at that point.
Correct. You get the automatic bid. And, Bob, they've been to a regional ever since that play, every single year. They're nine straight.
That's exactly right now that I think about that. Every year since you made that play.
Correct. Been in the regional.
So we should call you. Later, we should call you every year, yep. And thank you for getting us in this next regional.
I think if we're going to do that, we need to all get on a group chat with everybody that touched the ball.
That's a really good point.
We should go in a turn. I think Munns, the last year of the Conference USA tournament, being at Pete Taylor Park. Mm-hmm.
You know, you brought up Storm. That's interesting.
Storm Cooper, baby.
Yeah, because, you know, he really stepped up, didn't he, that weekend. And
Storm, if we go back and we look at his career, the amount of big hits that he got and with, like, two outs and tough situations. Yeah. I mean,
but he wasn't
Storm
an everyday player.
Storm did pretty well for himself. Yeah. Like, Storm had some incredible moments in his time here.
Exactly right. So that would be the highlight of what you had as an All-American baseball career.
That's got to be it, man, because that was everything you dreamed of, and that was part of the reason I came here in the first place, mm-hmm. was to be a part of the group that, you know, that mm-hmm. helps get you back to that. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, we made it back to that, and hell, we hadn't left.
No, every year. And I know you got to take a lot of pride when you see your team top 10 pretty much all year. Huge national respect, as Dima pointed out. They must fill you up with pride.
You know, it's something it's hard to explain, because I was always on the outside looking in because I was a D2 guy, you know. And there's some damn good baseball in Division II, especially in time before the portal happened. And all those dudes that are – you know, having to bounce back. I mean, we lost two games to people that won games in Omaha the year before that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're always watching somebody else on TV. And then
Right.
They're not watching you. And it's like, man, we could play with them, blah, blah, blah. But then when you were one of them, now the discussion becomes, do you achieve anything? Were you at a big place? And when you're at a good spot, like this one right here, it makes it a really special day.
There's some great D2 baseball in Mississippi with Delta State University.
Oh, yeah.
For years, perennial national power. All right, well, softball is playing, baseball is playing. We're going to take a look at both series. But who better to preview the softball game tonight than one of the coaches from Georgia Southern? You're going to give us an honest eval now.
You know? I'm going to shoot you straight from the hip. Might go into broadcasting afterwards.
You're not going to do the coach speech if we're terrible, we can't play, and then come out and score 15 runs tonight.
Huh? I can shoot you a little bit from the hip. I don't know if it's going to be straight, but I got you.
All right, Jake Sandlin on the Super Talk Eagle Hour with Dima and I today. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. DBAT sponsors the third segment of our program every day. DBAT on Hardy Street, baseball, softball, adult sports training. Also want to thank our good buddies at Forest Healthcare. They remind you got to keep up with the most important player on the team. That's you. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. And if you run into issues, Forest Health will be there to help you with expert medical care, and I mean really expert medical care, closer to home, foresthealth.org. Got Jake Sandlin in the studio. Jake, before we move on to the softball series, one thing I wanted to point out, you and Dima were kind of talking about, very interesting We pointed out you. We really saw you as the beginning of this string of incredible center fielders that the Golden Eagles have had, from Matt Etzel to Gabe Montenegro to Jake Cook. But you pointed out one that had kind of slipped my mind that you thought might have been the best of all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to be on that list with those people simply because I played the same position. There's some really good ball players on that list. And one just stretch that really stuck out to me was the regional in Oxford with a Mr. Reed Trimble.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting on his name to be called to the show.
Yep.
I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I just thought the dude was unreal. And I said, if I could go back and see one more year of that guy play center field, I would have died to do that.
And you made the comment, if Southern Miss had had him another year, you think he might have gotten him to Omaha.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, think of that 2022 team. That was obviously the LSU regional. You know, you had the most ridiculous pitching staff that I think has ever been assembled here between your starters and your bullpen. And then, you know, Sargent, Lynch, Montenegro. I mean, Will McGillis. The list goes on with that team as far as power, and obviously came up short to Ole Miss in the Super Regional that season here in Hattiesburg. But, again, some firepower there. You know, I feel like
he absolutely could have been the star of stars.
Oh, yeah.
On
yeah.
that team.
I mean, he had 17 homers the year before. Yeah. They just think of just putting that onto that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to that Super Regional because I still believe that Grand Slam was fair.
The only time that I've come back has been those 48 hours, and we're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not going to talk about it. Let's talk about softball. All right, Lady Eagles playing really well, Dima. Got this young man's team here. Let's break down the squad you've brought to Hattiesburg, Jake.
Well, we've improved vastly offensively. We're scrappy offensively. We're going to get our hits, okay, and we can bang it around a little bit. And I really like the Golden Eagles lineup. I think that they can bang it. They're towards the top of the league in conference play in average. But I think a big thing for us this year at Georgia Southern is more of our hits are going for extra bases. We're about 28% overall, and which is a significant increase for us, what we've had in years past. And Southern Miss is pretty close to that number as well. I think they're like 26.5 or 27%. So we're pretty equal on that. And they've done an exceptional job defensively. And we have a group that sometimes the game can get a little fast and we can make some physical errors. Last year we finished top 10 in the country in defense. This year we can kind of let it get away from us, but then we can also turn around and do things you're just not going to see at a lot of college softball games. We can make some hellacious plays. Mm-hmm. So a little bit, it can be an eraser. I think we're about even pitching wise. So I think it's a very evenly matched series. I've said this for a long time. I feel like Georgia Southern and Southern Miss are pretty much the same institution in different states. We just got the state of Alabama in between. Mm-hmm. Incredible similarities between the two. Mm-hmm. And so I think they really get after it, and we get after it. We can play with some really good energy and a lot of spunk. So I think across the league in the Sun Belt, it might be the most entertaining series ball-wise of the weekend.
You know, I think you nailed it right there. Georgia Southern, their fan base is in love with their sports, just like Southern Miss's fan base is. There's rich history in the baseball program at Georgia Southern. And the fan bases are so eerily similar. I guess, how have you seen that since you've been able to work with them? You were a part of this fan base, of course. I mean, I just think you're right, where these two schools are very comparable.
It always comes down to people. All right, we are in this whole college athletics thing. It's the people business.
Yeah.
All right, and that's what makes us who we are here in this community at Southern Miss. But us over there at Georgia Southern, it's the same thing. It's a blue collar place built by blue collar people that are very proud to have what they have, and they're proud to support and build what they have. There's not a whole lot of whining going on and feeling sorry for themselves about all the things that they don't have. They're proud of who they are, okay? And it's a good place to show up to work every day mm-hmm. when you're surrounded with people that are proud to be where they're at.
No. It sounds just like the Southern Miss fan base, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah. You know, Southern Miss baseball right now, over the last month, you know, they've kind of gone through their yearly thing where they kind of slump in March, you know, struggle from the plate, struggle from pitching. We see it all. They always turn it around just about now, you know, when April comes, early May. Did that happen in your career? And is it just something that sometimes you just kind of throw up your arms and say, it's baseball, we know we're talented, and we're, you know, get go down there to Louisiana this weekend and kind of get our minds right?
That's something that I feel like the best players learn sooner. You know, it takes a certain amount of time in this game to really understand the most important lessons of it. And I'm glad I've reached the point that, man, you just got to keep playing. Yeah. You just got to keep playing. Because if you look at the ball game that the Golden Eagles played the other night, and like, yeah, you can sit there and be like, man, I can't believe we're in a, you know, a nut cutter with UNO right here. And, you know, Bull, we need Bull to get a hit and to walk us off so we can win 3-2 at the Pete. How excited are we supposed to be? Man, winning is winning. It's right. The most self-esteem destroying game on the planet. You just got to keep showing up to the park. And it's kind of like me and Nick's, one of our high school assistants that's very dear to our hearts. He always told us, you know, if you continue to do the right things for the right reasons, the game is going to pay you back. Well, if you think about the fabric of our program and the people that have built it and the people that has built around, man, if we just continue to do the right stuff for the right reasons, we respect the game and we fulfill the responsibility that we're playing for a lot bigger stuff than just a number in a win or loss column, the Golden Eagles are going to be fine. The Golden Eagles are going to be fine.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I want you to clarify another kind of fun rumor too. You've clarified it to me, but the rumor got out that your brother Nick and Matt Walter, I gather they're buddies, and that they not only made Mississippi their permanent home, but they bought houses next door to one another.
Man, it's the coolest thing to know that, like, your brother has got really great friends, mm-hmm. and knowing that the places that he's been on his journey have provided him with those really great friends. He tells the jokes all the time that when Matt got down here, he was answering everybody, yes sir, no sir, and Nick's just like, dude, shut up, we're like 8 months older than you, all right? And we don't actually talk like that all the time to each other. And they became best friends from the jump, I guess. And then, you know, Nick moved down there, bought that house, and Matt, I think, was living, you know, 20 minutes or something down the road, but was coming over to Nick's place to work out in the garage with all the equipment and stuff. And then Sydney is best friends with Nick's wife, JC. And so it's almost like, yeah, they spend as much time over here as they do in their own house. And then I'm sitting there in Clearwater with Nick this summer. It's like, yeah, Matt and Sydney got the house. I was like, oh, Matt and Sydney are moving? And he's like, yeah, they bought the house next door. I was like, wow, what do you know? And so there's that. And I feel like one of the cooler things in my life is I got to be a part of the Broskis group text. They had a joint bachelor party uh-huh. when they were getting married. I got to be a part of that. So I'm like, man, uh-huh. these are some of the coolest people I know.
Ironic that the greatest hitter arguably in Southern Miss history and the best pitcher in Southern Miss history are best friends living next door to each other. Neither are from Mississippi, but both have made Mississippi their home. And Jake, doesn't that speak to Southern Miss baseball?
It really does, but I think even Southern Miss baseball, but for Hattiesburg and just the people here, mm-hmm. For years, my dad went back and just completely bragged about this place. And Nick and JC got married here in 24, and all the folks that had never been here, they all, you know, they came, they had, it was pretty much the most perfect wedding ever. Like, I can't ever compete with that. Good job, Nick and JC, y'all crushed it. But it was incredible, and they all walked away just blown away. They're like, it really is different over there. Mm-hmm. And the things that y'all have told us, it was way better in reality. So this place is special.
All right, when we come back, we'll do our weekend roundup. Dean will get us up to speed on everything happening in Lafayette and here. And we're going to continue our conversation with Jake Sandlin. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I want to remind you about Jewel Masters. That's where you go to sell your gold and silver. You get the best dollar for anything that's gold or silver in your possession at Jewel Masters. No one's done it longer. No one does it better. And no one treats you fairer than the good folks at Jewel Masters. Also, weekend projects ahead. Well, everything you'll need, whether it's outside or inside at MCS Home Center. They're located out on Highway 98 West. Check them out, 7329 Highway 98 West. And everything you need for your next home project, you'll find it. Local folks happy to earn your business. All right, Demon News and Notes.
Yeah, around Southern Miss Athletics, track and field is in Alabama this week at the Crimson Tide Invitational. Tennis is at UAB to take on the Blazers women's soccer, playing some scrimmages this spring, and they play Mississippi Gulf Coast tomorrow. As we mentioned, baseball tonight at Louisiana. I was looking at the weather. It looks a little inclementy tonight down in Louisiana. I think it's raining, so hopefully that'll be cleared by the time first pitch starts down there in Louisiana. Then, as we've already documented on this show, Georgia Southern and the Golden Eagles in softball get going tonight at 6 p.m.
All right, Jake, you gave us kind of a preview of your softball team, but break down the Golden Eagles down in Lafayette. Curious to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, what I'm really hoping is that Bulls hit on Tuesday night and was a spark for them, to where maybe the boys can let their hair down just a little bit and relax. It looks a little tight, that coaching staff, they know what they're doing, man. Yeah. We need to support them. The boys, they'll be fine, all right? They just need to get over the rough little stretch and don't press. The interesting thing to me is that Lafayette's kind of scuffling too. It's not the typical team that they've got. They hadn't got off to a great start. And I know that when you're in those moments, you're looking for something to catapult you out of those moments. And I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, okay, well, maybe we can take a series from Southern Miss to get us on our way. So that's an obstacle in itself right there. But we can say the exact same thing. We had to have a walk-off hit to beat UNO. Who knows? Maybe that's some good, positive momentum to get us going. And then we go take care of the Cajuns like we usually do. And then we come out of this thing ready to rock and roll.
You notice how he put that "usually do" in there. I wanted to ask you, sometimes when teams are kind of in slumps and, like you said, kind of pressing a little tight, sometimes getting out of, like, your home stadium sometimes help. And I kind of pointed that out last week. I thought that the offense would kind of show up last week at Old Dominion because I feel like there wouldn't be a lot of fans there. They're renovating their stadium, not to Old Dominion's fault, but you kind of saw them starting to hit the ball a little bit better, kind of just feeling a little more relaxed, not as tight. Do you think there's anything to that? Or
there is something to it, but a lot, like, tons of things in this game. Nothing is an exact science.
Sure.
You can't sit there and particularly bank on it.
Right.
Like, I would love for the emotions of this weekend series to catapult us, hoping it doesn't catapult them. Who knows? Baseball is completely unpredictable.
Right.
And it could be a totally mute series for all we know. But yeah, getting out of your own yard, okay, maybe not pressing in front of your own fans as much. There are times that it really can't help.
That's interesting. Yeah,
because I mean, sometimes you hear the groans, you know, when you strike out of the fans, and then you're feeling like you're letting people down, if that makes sense. When in reality, you're not. You know, everybody's just commenting on the game. But sometimes that can get in your head, and sometimes just getting out of that and just going to playing baseball. Yeah. You know,
and it's not easy to deal with because we forget the time frame that all of those things happen mentally when you're sitting there writing a dissertation about it, trying to teach a class, well, this is how you can handle mental adversity or whatever. What they don't do is they don't account for the velocity of the moment. It's like, no, that's happening right now, and all these folks are looking at me walk back to the dugout again. That's tough, but getting out of your own yard can help there.
You know something you said, and you didn't even think about what you were saying, it was so impressive. You're living in Georgia, and you knew exactly how the ball game turned out Tuesday night. You knew exactly who got the hit, who got the walk-off, what the score was. I'm guessing Jake Sandlin's keeping a pretty close eye on his Golden Eagle brothers.
Well, you know, there's a lot of us that are cued in watching the Eagles. Right. And you asked right before commercial break, you're damn right I'm proud to be a part of this program. Because it's kind of like I say in recruiting, that type of life isn't for everybody. There's a lot of college baseball players that have had amazing careers that they play on bad teams and organizations that have never really won anything. So they don't get to experience these kinds of highs and have this sense of pride.
Yeah.
And, I only got to be here for 1 year, but it was the best year of my life. And, you know, my brother did what he did here. And we've come in contact with some amazing people. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, yeah, I'm going to cut the ball game on Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Hey, well, we're out of time, and I failed to ask you this question. Did you actually teach Nick how to pitch?
No, Nick taught himself how to pitch and got a little. He got some pointers along the way, but that man, that's all him.
Yeah, I got it. Hey, it's been just delightful to have you here. I thank you so much, man.
I thank y'all so much.
And we got to thank our mutual friend Scott for setting this up.
Absolutely. Did it for 40. He put me on this assignment, and it turned out to be a great part of my day. Thank you all so much. To the top.
Listen, we can't wish you too much luck this weekend, but I hope you'll understand.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
Jake Sandlin, everybody, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Demon, I'll be back Monday. Hope you have a happy and safe weekend. Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.